Do you remember back in 2011, Elon Musk was on TV and he kind of chuckled when asked about BYD being a rival.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that clip.
He basically said, have you seen their car? And I don't believe they offer a superior product. Pretty dismissive.
Definitely. Times have changed, though.
Massively. Because fast forward to January 2023, and when someone asked him about his toughest competitor, he just said, some company out of China. Quite the turnaround, wouldn't you say?
It really is a huge shift in perception and, well, reality.
So today we're doing a deep dive into exactly that. The incredible, really rapid rise of Chinese automakers, especially in the EV space, electric vehicles.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story.
We're going to explore how they went from being seen as, makers of cheap cars, maybe even low quality ones sometimes, to being these serious, innovative, global players.
It's genuinely reshaped the entire car market, a seismic shift, like you said.
And to help us unpack all this, we've gathered quite a stack of sources. We've got business strategy analyses on companies like BYD, detailed reports on China's national EV plan.
Market performance data, too, from major news outlets. It's a pretty comprehensive look.
Exactly. So our mission today is to figure out the core strategies, the unique innovations, and that crucial government support driving this whole thing.
And what it means for the global market, right? What
Yeah,
makes them so competitive?
precisely. Get ready for some real aha
Yeah.
moments about where mobility is heading.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, so where does this story really kick off? I think it has to start with China's government support. It was incredibly visionary.
Absolutely. This wasn't just a few tax breaks here and there.
No, not at all. We're talking about a really detailed, comprehensive plan. It's called the New Energy Vehicle Industrial Development Plan for 2021 to 2035, a proper roadmap.
A blueprint, really, and seriously ambitious.
It laid out these huge goals, like forming a globally competitive auto industry, shifting the whole country towards being energy efficient, with battery EVs becoming mainstream.
And also improving national energy security and, crucially, air quality. It was thinking big picture.
Totally. Not just about the car industry, but the whole society.
And the targets they set were pretty eye-watering.
Weren't they just? By 2025, the aim was for about 20% of annual car sales to be new energy vehicles,
And
NEVs.
then they had the really big one. By 2035, battery electric vehicles, BEVs, becoming the mainstream for new sales.
Plus, get this, 100% electrification of all public fleets by 2035. Every bus, taxi, public delivery van, all electric.
Wow, that's a transformation on a massive scale.
It really is. And the plan outlined five key strategic tasks, things like boosting tech innovation, building the whole NEV ecosystem, integrating industries, developing infrastructure.
And international cooperation too, right?
Yeah. But what's really interesting is how the policy itself evolved. They moved away from just giving direct subsidies for buying cars.
Which can get very expensive and maybe aren't sustainable long term.
Exactly. They shifted towards broader things like tax exemptions, subsidies for charging stations, parking incentives, plus big R&D investments from state-owned companies.
It shows a kind of maturing strategy, moving beyond just kickstarting demand.
Right. A more sophisticated approach.
And you've laid out that government backing really well. What strikes me is how deliberate and, well, visionary it was. It wasn't just reacting. They actively de-risked investment. They built this entire industrial ecosystem piece by piece. It wasn't just about throwing money around.
Ecosystem engineering, you could almost call it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They looked at everything, raw materials, R&D, infrastructure, even after sales support. It created this unique environment for growth. Companies could scale up incredibly fast.
So that government vision set the stage, but then you have China's domestic market, which is just colossal. That was the real launch pad, wasn't it?
Absolutely. The world's biggest car market. It gave them a huge built-in customer base.
Which meant companies could scale up production super quickly, get those economies of scale, push costs down.
And make EVs much more affordable for millions of people right there at home.
And the change has been, well, frankly, astonishing. Just 2 decades, and China's gone from basically following tech trends to being a global innovator.
The numbers back that up, too.
They really do. Look at 2024, produced and sold over 31 million vehicles. And the export number, 5.86 million units exported. That's up nearly 20% year on year.
Which made them the world's largest auto exporter, overtaking Japan, I believe.
That's right. And it wasn't just about importing tech, the sources talk about this uniquely Chinese path of independent innovation.
Developing their own solutions.
Exactly. And it's not just the cars themselves, they're innovating across the board. Like Focusing on specific EV tire technology, even using AI in manufacturing processes.
It's a whole ecosystem approach, like we said, thinking about every part of it.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and look at the specific strategies these Chinese automakers are using. We absolutely have to talk about BYD.
The giant.
Yeah. They've really nailed what we can call their three pillars of power. First up is just relentless cost leadership.
They managed to keep costs way down compared to someone like Tesla.
Right. And it's a mix of things, isn't it? Lower labor costs in China, yes, but also that huge government support we mentioned, and crucially, this incredible vertical integration.
That vertical integration is key.
It really is. It makes their EVs accessible to way more people, helps grab market share, and lets them keep decent profit margins, too.
So tell us more about that second pillar, the vertical integration. How deep does it go?
It's seriously impressive. Think of BYD almost like a full-stack tech company, but for cars. Our sources say for a model like the BYD Dolphin.
Which is one of their popular ones.
Exactly. Apparently, only the tires and the windows come from outside suppliers. Everything else.
Everything.
Pretty much. Batteries, electric motors, semiconductors, even the software inside the car. BYD makes it all in-house.
Wow. That level of control is unusual in the auto industry.
Hugely. It means they're less reliant on outside suppliers, less vulnerable to shortages or disruptions. Plus, they own all that unique IP. Most other car makers can only dream of that kind of supply chain control.
Okay, so cost leadership, vertical integration.
Yeah.
What's the third pillar?
Speed. An absolutely accelerated pace of new model development. This number is just wild. The average automaker takes about 4 years, right? From starting point to final design for a new car.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's a long process.
BYD, they do it in 18 months.
18 months. Seriously, that's incredibly fast.
Isn't it? Think about how quickly they can react to market changes, new tech, what consumers want. They can just flood the market with new models.
That pace is definitely a major competitive advantage. But, you know, it does raise a question. Sources sometimes mention potential downsides to moving that fast.
Like quality control.
Exactly. Rushing development could lead to issues, maybe damage their reputation, affect customer satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Are the sources saying anything about how they manage that risk? Are they innovating in quality control too?
That's a really good question. And yeah, the sources suggest it's not about cutting corners on quality. It's more about optimizing the entire development process from the ground up.
So speed through efficiency, not shortcuts.
Precisely. And this focus on speed isn't just BYD. These newer Chinese EV companies, the OEMs, they're consistently developing new products in just 24 months.
24 months?
Yeah.
Still half the time of the traditional players.
Exactly. Half the time of others who often take 40, 50 months, sometimes longer. It's a fundamental shift driven by what they call a digital-first approach.
Okay, so how are they actually doing it? What are the mechanics behind that speed?
Well, it's a combination of things. First, they optimize their product and component portfolios. They tend to have smaller, more focused ranges, specializing in battery electric vehicles, which inherently have fewer parts.
Makes sense. Less complexity.
And they maximize using standard modular components, especially for the digital stuff and parts you don't see. Second, they use smart and efficient testing.
More simulation, less physical testing.
A lot more, like 65% virtual simulation compared to maybe 40-50% elsewhere. And crucially, about 75% of those virtual tests are highly automated. That means they need maybe half the number of physical prototypes. Big saving in time and cost.
Okay, what else?
Then there's decoupling software and hardware. This is huge. They use these centralized electronic architectures, develop the software in-house, and keep it separate from the physical hardware development.
Which allows for over-the-air updates, right?
Exactly. Full OTA capability. So they can fix bugs, add features, improve performance after the car is sold, just like updating your phone, but it's your car.
That's a massive advantage in keeping products fresh.
Definitely. They've also optimized tooling. Because their virtual testing is so good, they can start making the actual physical molds and tools much earlier. They even use flexible soft tooling for early production runs. Again, shaving off time.
And I guess the vertical integration plays a role here, too.
Mm-hmm. Big time. Their robust vertical integration and supply strategy means they control more key components, battery packs, motors, e-axles. But they also have really strong collaborative relationships with the suppliers they do use.
So it's control where it matters, partnership elsewhere.
Seems like it. And finally, there's just intense execution rigor. Think lean governance, small executive teams making decisions fast, and they use AI-enabled project management systems.
AI managing the project?
Sort of. These systems constantly monitor thousands of data points, flagging potential supply chain issues, delays in design, whatever. Teams can react in hours, not drag things out for weeks.
Wow. That whole package. It really explains the speed.
It does. It's a completely different way of thinking about car development.
And what this all points to, really, is this idea of the software race.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving towards software-defined vehicles, or SDVs.
Where the software is almost more important than the hardware.
In many ways, yes. Functions are controlled by software. And China's clearly leading here. There was an NHP study, for instance. It found 58% of people globally would consider buying a Chinese car.
That's a big number.
It is. And in China itself, it's nearly 100%. But here's the kicker. The decisive factor for buying, especially in China, is the digital features. For 73% globally, and almost everyone in China, that's what seals the deal.
So the tech, the screens, the connectivity, the software experience.
Exactly. It shows consumer priorities are shifting, and Chinese companies are really hitting that mark. They're setting the pace in the software game.
And that focus on software leads us right into AI and advanced tech. XPeng is a great example here. They're really pushing an AI-driven mobility vision.
Right, they talk about their AI tech tree.
Yeah, and their XPeng World Foundation model. Apparently, it has 35 times the parameter count of typical VLA models.
Okay, parameter count basically means the AI is much more complex, much more capable.
Exactly. More data points it uses to learn and make decisions. It means it can handle complex visual data, understand language, take actions with more precision. It allows for real-time adaptation in tricky driving situations.
And they see this applying beyond just cars, right?
Oh, yeah. AI-defined vehicles, robotics, even flying cars are part of their vision.
Flying cars. Still feels a bit sci-fi, but they're serious.
Seems like it. And they have practical tech, too. Their 5C supercharging AI battery tech. 5C means it can charge super fast.
How fast?
They claim 420 kilometers of range from just a 10-minute charge. That's pretty impressive.
That really tackles range anxiety.
It does. And like you said, it's not just cars. They've got these XPeng iron humanoid robots.
I saw videos of those. Quite uncanny.
Right. Showing off human-like conversation, movement, manipulating objects, all powered by the same kind of AIs in their car cockpits. It shows the breadth of their AI work.
It's a signal of their overall tech capability.
And we're seeing consolidation, too. Look at Geely. They're merging their three smart driving teams, Zeekr, the Geely Auto Research Institute, and Meichi Zixing.
I'm bringing them all together.
Into a new independent joint venture. Qianli Intelligent Driving Technology. It's part of this Taizhou Declaration strategy they have.
Aiming for a unified platform, stop internal competition.
Exactly. Pool Resources offers smart driving solutions across the whole industry. It's about getting maximum efficiency and scale in this tech race.
Makes sense. Consolidate to compete better.
So all these strategies the government support, the market scale, the speed, the tech, it's leading to real global impact, right? We're seeing bullish market performance and significant expansion.
The results from the first half of 2025 for some of these NEV startups were quite something.
Weren't they? Take Leap Motor. They actually turned their first half year profit. Deliveries surged 155%, revenue up 174%. That's huge for a startup.
And they made the Fortune China 500 list.
Yeah. And their partnership with Stellantis seems to be paying off for exports. Nearly 25,000 NEVs exported already, thousands of orders in Europe just in July.
And they're planning a European factory by late 2026. Serious intent.
Definitely. Then XPeng record Q2 deliveries up 241% year on year. They've delivered over 700,000 vehicles globally now in 46 markets.
That's rapid expansion.
And Xiaomi, their car business is taking off. Average selling price went up thanks to that SU7 Ultra sedan.
The sporty one.
Right. They hit over 30,000 deliveries in July alone, aiming for 350,000 this year and targeting Europe in 2027.
It's not just the startups either, is it? The established players are doing well too.
No, absolutely. Geely had record revenue up 27%, record sales up 47%, and NEVs made up over half their sales, 51.5%.
That crossover point is significant. More electric than gasoline for a major player.
It really is. So across the board, startups, established giants, it's explosive growth, improving profitability, and this rapid shift to NEV dominance.
And these figures really do show that aggressive global push. Looking at the target markets, It seems quite strategic.
How so?
Well, Europe is a big focus, right? With its tough emissions rules and strong green push, it's fertile ground for EVs.
Makes sense. A receptive market.
Then you have emerging markets, Latin America, Middle East, Africa, Southeast Asia. There, the demand is often more about affordability, fuel efficiency, reliability.
And Chinese EVs are increasingly hitting that sweet spot.
Exactly. Their cost effectiveness, plus growing environmental awareness even in those regions, makes them very attractive.
Of course, it's not all smooth sailing. This rapid expansion comes with challenges, controversies. Our sources point out quite a few.
Like tariffs and trade barriers.
Yeah, definitely seeing pushback there. The EU, the US imposing tariffs, trying to protect their own local manufacturers from what they see as, well, maybe unfairly cheap competition.
That's going to be an ongoing battle.
For sure. Then there's the hurdle of brand perception and quality concerns.
Still fighting old reputations.
To some extent, yes. They've made huge leaps in quality and safety, no doubt. But building that trust with international buyers, overcoming those old stigmas, it takes time.
And managing global logistics must be complex.
Hugely. Supply chains, shipping delays, the ongoing semiconductor issues, rising transport costs. It's a challenge for everyone, but especially when you're expanding rapidly worldwide.
What about raw materials? That's a big topic for all EVs.
Critical. Things like lithium, cobalt, nickel are concentrated in just a few places globally. That creates real supply chain vulnerabilities.
Which is why there's so much focus on battery recycling and alternatives.
Exactly. Oh. Investing in recycling, developing other battery chemistries like sodium ion, it's crucial to reduce that dependency.
And finally, regulations.
Yeah, regulatory issues. There's just no single global standard for EVs. Different rules everywhere for emissions, incentives, charging plugs, recycling requirements, safety, even vehicle-to-grid tech.
Which must make it complicated and expensive for automakers selling globally.
Definitely adds complexity. You have to tailor vehicles and strategies for different regions.
So a lot of hurdles still to navigate, despite the incredible progress.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's try and wrap this up. We've taken a real deep dive today into China's automotive rise. We've seen that powerful mix. Strategic government backing from the start, that huge domestic market acting as an incubator.
That incredible speed in developing new products, driven by digital methods and vertical integration.
And a clear lead in this whole software-defined vehicle race. They're not just catching up anymore. They're genuinely redefining the game in speed, innovation, and how you enter markets.
It's forced everyone else to sit up and take notice, hasn't it?
It really has. So thinking about you, our listener, what does all this mean for the cars you might drive in the future? How you'll experience getting around?
We touched on how AI isn't just about driving assistance anymore.
Right. It's about turning the car into this kind of AI brain, something that learns, adapts to you, your preferences, your needs.
It's a fundamental shift from hardware being the main thing to software and intelligence taking center stage.
Exactly. So here's a final thought to leave you with. How might this complete change in focus from metal and mechanics to software and AI totally alter our relationship with personal transport? Could it even make the whole idea of owning a car as we know it today kind of obsolete?
That's a big question for the future.